stop out for Men's Night at Dillon Brothers Harley-Davidson at 174th and Maple on Thursday, March 23rd from 5 to 9 p.m. Good food, cold drinks, cool prizes, and more. Visit Dillon-Brothers.com for all the details.
It's NBA draft tonight. Be interested to see what happens to Justin Patton. Like I said, I know Portland loves him. Portland's picking at 15 and 20, so I think at the very worst, he gets taken at 20th by Portland. I could see him going 15th. I know Atlanta also likes him around that. I think they're picking 19th. So I think in that, if you're watching the draft, once you get to about 15 to 20, might want to get your popcorn ready and stay tuned, because I think that's when you're going to see Justin Patton. And apparently, I think, was it Andy Kindy, I think, told us, he's got like something about his outfit is paying homage to Omaha, right? Like, there's something with his outfit. I thought Andy told me that. Maybe I dreamt that. I thought Andy told us that the other day. That
so like a Runza uniform?
That'd be nice, right? Wearing a Runza, you know, those like corn of the cob
green
hats?
Polo.
If you have a corn of the cob hat, it's like a Runza hat. That would be the weirdest looking thing you've ever seen.
And with his do, could he even wear one of those?
I don't know. Maybe he got a haircut. I'm not totally sure. But yeah, my guess is 15. He could go 20th to Portland. I think Portland would be a good spot for him, too. You got two really good guards there, and Lillard and McCollum take a lot of attention. If he's setting ball screens, they're going to really try and take away him. He's going to be have opportunities to score off of that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to be fun to see how it goes. Last night, LSU takes down Florida State 7-4. So LSU staying alive. You got an elimination game tonight. Louisville TCU. You got who's with Josh today? Is it Schaaf again? Who's
Josh and Schaaf.
Josh and Schaaf got you covered 2 to 6:40.
A 4-hour 40-minute show.
Whatever thoughts Schaaf and Josh have on anything, they're going to get conveyed here this afternoon. And then pregame coverage starts at 6:40. They're at the Omaha Baseball Village. We'll be out at the Omaha Baseball Village again tomorrow, 11 to 1:40. Let me switch gears here from the NBA draft for a second. I got to be honest for a second. I've been... Yeah, you ever have a story break and you go, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm just going to hang back. I want to see people's reaction to it and then kind of give your two cents. And I've hinted at it a little bit, but I've been just hanging back and watching and reading and listening to reactions for a few weeks on Bob Stoops and his retirement. And I've been a little perplexed. First of all, I initially was extremely interested in the reaction from Oklahoma and the fans. We had Barry Trammell on. Kind of felt like a lot of the fans were like, okay, great, good. Got Stoops out of here. Jeez, finally got that dead weight. Am I right? I mean, really? So that was the first round. I was like, I wonder what Oklahoma's going to feel. Talked to Barry Trammell, very plugged in. So, yeah, there are a lot of fans that kind of felt good about it. And then I've also been interested in what Bob Stoops' departure would do to the Oklahoma season projections, right? Like, how if that would alter, well, now without Stoops, there's this. There's, I got to be honest, I've been stunned. And maybe stunned is a strong word, but it feels fitting. I've been stunned at the lack of respect for Bob Stoops on whether it's a fan or people prognosticating the season. Oklahoma fans almost seem happy. And most people have looked at this season for Oklahoma and thought, no Stoops, no problem. And I think that is nuts to me. Phil Steele went on Sportsmanlike Conduct, said, doesn't really alter anything. You listen to a lot of people, even Mitch Sherman said yesterday, he said, I don't think it really impacts next season. Bob Stoops to me was one of the five most accomplished current coaches going last year. Right? Like, who, outside of Urban Saban, like, who else had accomplished more than Stoops, who was currently coaching last year? And people are acting like, whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that Oklahoma is just going to implode and win like two games and get beat 72-3 every game. But I also think this idea that Oklahoma isn't going to skip a beat and is going to be just fine seems a little ridiculous. Bob Stoops, extremely successful. Won national title, 10 Big 12 titles. He's won 11 or more games in 12 of his 18 seasons in Norman. This notion that it's like, eh, whatever, no Stoops, no problem. That should be like a t-shirt in Norman. No Stoops, no problem. I just have found it really interesting. I think we so quickly criticize coaches that we forget how hard it is to win and win big. And most importantly, to build a consistent winner. I mean, think about Stoops in his 18 seasons as head coach for Oklahoma. One national championship, 10 Big 12 titles, 7 top 5 finishes, 11 top 10 finishes. I will tell you right now, you want to make a bet with me, Lincoln Riley will do that in his next 18 years? You got it. I don't think he will. And so Lincoln Riley, I mean, dude is 33 years old. 33. And you know what? He may be a fantastic young mind and all the... But am I ready to say no Stoops, no problem? Hell no. So it'll be interesting to watch Oklahoma this year. Especially when I pose this question myself. Where does coaching matter? Where does coaching manifest itself? I would say coaching manifests itself in big games. And then I would say late game management and decision making. You know, okay, 3rd and 7, what are you doing? You playing it safe? Are you going for it? Are you doing that? Are you blitzing on 3rd and long? Are you falling back? What? Lincoln Riley has got quite a test right out the gates, because the second game of the season, the second weekend of the college football season, Oklahoma travels to Columbus, Ohio. And Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma, they're going to be taking on JT Barrett and Urban Meyer in Columbus. That was an ass-kicking in Norman last year. So I just have been a little taken aback at how much people are like, nah, whatever, no Stoops, no problem, right? I mean, shoot. You know, he really was holding them back. It's like, whoa, really? That I struggle to get behind. So we'll see what happens. But as of right now, I'm not ready to think that they're just not going to skip a beat. So obviously today, you know, Phil Jackson's very much in the news. Talking about how, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is definitely on the trade market, and, you know, saying things like, we got to do what's best for our young club, and it sounds like he's a little butthurt over Kristaps Porzingis not going to his exit meeting. Yeah, you know, he told a New York media member yesterday that he, in his 25, 30 years of coaching, no one's missed an exit meeting. That's a flat-out lie. Shaquille O'Neal has missed exit meetings. That's happened before. And there is an element of arrogance with Phil Jackson. And I don't want to say the game is passing him by, but you do have to be, I think one of the things that I always have admired about some of these older coaches that are still thriving, you know, whether it's Mike Krzyzewski or Nick Saban, is they've been willing to pivot and adapt with the changing of the times. And Phil Jackson, with his stubbornness to stick with the triangle offense, even though the game has evolved a little bit away from that, and you got to understand, a lot of people don't want to go play in the triangle. And then the arrogance to me to act like that Kristaps Porzingis is almost inconsequential to move, whatever. We'll go get we'll go get De'Aaron Fox and be just fine. So like Kristaps Porzingis was, you know, what was he, 18 and 12, over 7 feet tall, can shoot threes. Like, we talk about Patton being the kind of new age center. Kristaps Porzingis is the new age center. I mean, to me, he's a guy that you need to hang on to. He has shown the chances of any of these top five picks being as good as Kristaps Porzingis. I would say the odds probably aren't great. So we'll see what happens. But certainly, if they trade Kristaps Porzingis, oh boy. I mean, New York's always an angry sports town anyways. But it could the Madison Square Garden might get burned to the ground. 402-951-1620. So we'll talk to Adit Joseph of the USA Today about all this moving and shaking in the NBA draft tonight. Brian Munson, 1:30. Kevin Kugler, 12:30. Let's take a break. Top of the hour, give you my thoughts on a lot of these guys in the draft, who I like, who I think has got bust written all over them. But coming up next, let's get to three and out. Get our three and out game right when we come back. More game time around the corner.